I'm just going to read from 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. He's speaking to people who know but need to be reminded. How many know that we need to stay in the mirror of God's Word and we need to be reminded lest we forget? We need to maintain our testimony and remember from where God has brought us, lest we forget and desire and turn in our hearts back to that place of bondage again. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word," everything is kept, isn't it, in its place by the word of God, "are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing." Who's he talking to? "That with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for, and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." Amen? I just thought that we needed to hear that again. And God's people need to hear that again. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, I believe Matthew 24, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. When he returns, he says people are going to cast off restraints. We're going to be living in a time when people are not expecting the return of Christ. They're not talking about it. They're not thinking about it. People have gotten tied in again back into the ways that they once walked. Many have fallen away. There's a perdition. And people have gone back to Egypt. People have left their first love. They have left the faith. Some have actually left the faith. And Jesus said that lawlessness is going to abound in the last days. And we are seeing great lawlessness. We're seeing a total rebellion against any type of authority right now. And we're seeing also that even though people may not with their mouth say this, where is the promise of their coming, but by their works, by the way that they live, they are saying the same message. Are you hearing me? Yeah. That they're not expecting the return of Jesus and the judgment of God on this earth. And instead, we've been in bed with Pharaoh and in Egypt. And God is saying, "I want you out. I want my people to come out from among them." Amen. "And be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters." Yeah. God is saying it's time for the church to wake up, return to its first love, do the first works, get back to that place, that reference of where you once walked. We pray and we sang that song tonight, Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Lord, I don't want to lose my passion. You see, the devil wants us to leak out. He wants us to become complacent and apathetic. He wants to lull us to sleep by distracting us with earthly things. There are so many distractions today, so many things to entice and entrap us, that we have to be more vigilant than ever today in our walk and guarding our hearts with all diligence, because there are many adversaries. There are many distractions. There are many things that are happening right now that are taking people away from Christ. There are people who don't think it's important to be in fellowship. There are people who don't think it's important to be with Jesus. Amen. To walk with Jesus, to pay attention to His voice. How many know that His voice is life to us? How many know the will of God that concerns us is our meat, it's our food? You'll be sustained in the will and the purpose of God for your life. And God is saying, don't look back. Don't go back to Egypt. Forsake it. Cut every sever, every tie to that place. Amen. And to Pharaoh, so that you may be freed up to run this race with endurance, with perseverance. Amen. Looking and fastening your eyes upon the prize, Jesus Christ, who is waiting at the end. Amen. We've got to get our view heavenward, folks. We've got to set our affections on things above. We've got to shift away from earthly thinking, temporary living, amen, pursuing temporary pleasure, the God of pleasure, the God of money, the God of sex. It's all there. It's all looking us in the face and trying to draw us back into Egypt. Are you with me? We have people who come to this altar even and they give their heart to Jesus. They say, Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me, heal me, restore me. And the next thing you know, they're off with the next filly that comes along. Are you hearing me? Forgive me, ladies, if I use the word filly. I think you know what I'm talking about. And it works both ways, doesn't it? We cannot have any other gods before Him. We cannot choose earthly relationships above our heavenly relationship. There is nothing more important than our relationship with our Jesus. Amen. And there is no one who loves us as much as He does, and who gave Himself so selflessly for us. God laid it all down for us, demonstrating His great love for us. And I think, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Where they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and given in marriage. It was life just continuing as it always had been. Life as usual. The Lord showed me something years ago that that's what it's going to be like in the time of His return and even the day of His wrath. People are not going to understand. They're not going to know the time. And even Jesus said, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? Question. Thessalonians talks about a great falling away before the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is revealed. We are now living in those very hours, folks. No longer days, but hours. Amen. And this world dictator is going to come on the scene. Everything is in place, the system right now. And most people are lollygagging through life without a clue of the times that we're living in. And they just think that life is going to continue to go on as it always had. But there's going to be a suddenly. There's going to be a shift. Things are going to happen suddenly. And God says, be watchful. Amen. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. God wants His people in a state of readiness, because we're looking to Jesus and the return, amen, of our Lord at the trumpet sound. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever what? Be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another. Admonish one another. Keep each other accountable to keep following Jesus, to keep praying, to keep seeking Him. Just keep our eyes on Him and off the world. Amen. Come out, come out, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We've got a thing going on right now, even in the charismatic Pentecostal church, where people are wanting the power and the gifts and to be used of God, and they've got their hands lifted in the air, and yet they're living in all kinds of sin. Are you hearing me? Yeah. And it's a mockery. It's an unclean offering. God does not accept it. You can lift your hands and shout all you want. If you're not obedient to the Spirit of Christ, it's not a pure offering. As a matter of fact, God does not accept it. Can I say that? God wants a broken heart, a contrite heart. He wants a heart that is repentant towards Him and a heart that says, God, You are my answer. You are my hope. You are my love. You are my desire. You're my all in all. And let Him, amen, change us. We are not to conform to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12. We are not to follow the patterns of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world, just like Jesus said, My kingdom's not of this world. And as He prayed for us in John 17, amen, He also prayed for you and I, that we may be with Him, that we may be one with Him, that we might be ready when He comes. He's coming for a bride. He's not coming for a prostitute. Amen. He's not coming for a fornication group of people. He's coming for those who are pure. Amen. Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Quit your sinning. Repent of your sin. Get your heart right. Amen. Because He's coming for those who are looking for them. And those who are looking for Him are the ones who are ready for Him. When we know that Jesus is coming and we believe the Word of God and we tremble at His Word, then we make preparation. Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There will be difficulty because we desire to follow Jesus. But God has promised that He will reward us, amen, for being faithful to Him as He has never ceased to be faithful to us. And He will always be there. We love You, Jesus. We hear You, Lord. We hear You. And we want to obey You. We want to follow You. And we need help. We need Your grace. So therefore, let us come boldly, confidently, to the throne of grace, that we may receive grace, find mercy to help us in our time of need. I don't know about you, but I need Him. We're living in very difficult times as far as there's so much to distract, so much that's trying and pulling to try to pull us away. There is a literal tug of war for our soul. And we've got to run with Jesus. We've got to run after Him. We've got to seek Him. Jesus said, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. We cannot be passive in this journey. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind and I press on towards the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that You will sow into our hearts with understanding what You are saying in this hour for Your church. Yes. He's calling us to draw near, yes, to draw closer, to repent. This is the message. I said, Lord, make me ready. Lord, purify my heart. I want to be clean. I want to be free from every tether, every tie, every shackle, every chain of the enemy, Lord. I want to be free from every addiction. I want to be free, Lord, from anything, anything that would hinder me, any weight that would bog me down in my race, Lord, that I might with perseverance might reach the goal that You have set for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I pursue the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Those who receive God's kingdom, again, they are not the passive, but those who earnestly seek it. Those who will stop at nothing to obtain the promises of God. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, where there's no sight, there's no dream, there's no revelation, there's no oracle, the people perish. That means they go back, they fall backwards, or they cast off restraints. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. He who listens to God's voice, blessed are you. Extremely happy are those who hear His voice. And you will overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Where there's no vision, people tend to fall back into their old ways. If you're in Christ, then God has placed within you godly dreams and desires. And as I mentioned this morning, often our problem is not a lack of vision, but a loss of hope while waiting on the vision. Maybe you feel the vision that God gave you has died. Sometimes we get discouraged because things are not happening as quickly as we expect. Again, I mentioned this morning, Moses had been given the promise to be the deliverer, and yet it was not until 40 years later that he actually stepped up to the plate on that call. You know, you and I can have this hope. We can have this hope burning in our hearts. We can have a vision for God. And yet, if we're not careful after the years have gone by, if we don't keep that before us, if we don't remind ourselves of His promises, and if we don't keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, you can lose hope. Israel lost hope in the wilderness because they got their eyes off the promise and they started looking at their surroundings and their situation, and they allowed themselves to get into a fit of discouragement and they began to bellyache and complain about their situation. They got their eyes off where they were going and they were only concerned about their temporary comfort. Can I suggest to you that too many today are only concerned about temporary comforts? About temporary pleasures, and they're not living for eternity. They're not thinking about eternity. They're not thinking about where we're going to be someday forever. Amen. Our kingdom is not of this world. We are only passing through. We are a pilgrim people. We are to live for eternity, to live for God every day, knowing that here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. Wherein dwelleth righteousness, the Lord is going to return. Hallelujah. Amen. For His bride, He's going to call us away to be with Him. Let's not be like those who are casting off restraints and falling back and going back to their old ways, because in their mind and maybe in the way that they live, it's obvious that they don't expect Jesus to return any time. God, keep us mindful of the time and the hour we're living in right now. That we will be mindful, Lord, of what You have planned, what Your goals are, what Your dreams are, what Your desires are for us. Lord, You created us with an eternal purpose, and we want to know that. We want to live out that purpose, God. Show us, Lord. Show us Your ways. Lead us in Your paths of righteousness for Your name's sake, Lord, that we might bring You glory and bring You honor. Abraham, it says, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Verse 19 of Romans 4, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith because he did what? He was giving glory to God. Amen. The best way to overcome is to give glory to God. Don't complain about your situation. Give glory to God. Understand that whatever God allows in your situation and in your life is honing and preparing you and making you beautiful for Him. He's purifying His people. He's purifying a bride. And sometimes it's through the fire. Amen. It's through the difficulties of this life. And yet God says, if you trust Me in this, if you allow Me to work in your life, instead of complaining, give glory to Me, then you will see, amen, the fulfillment, the completeness of why I've called you. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, the prophet Habakkuk said, though it tarries, though the vision that God gives you tarries, it may be years, it may be a long time before you see it. He says, wait for it. Has God spoken to you prophetically? Has God given you a word of knowledge? Have you read the scriptures and God spoke to you and said, this is for you. This is for a word for you. Has God spoke to you in your time of prayer and dropped something into your spirit? He's birthed in you. He's worked in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Has He done something? How many know that He has done that for every one of us that are in Christ, that God has placed within us His desires, His dream, and His goal for us, not only for Him, but also He will allow us to dream along with Him. Amen. Yeah, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom above everything else is what it means. and everything else will be taken care of. Oh, but the enemy wants us to look at our problems and focus on the problems, because what happens is when we get too caught up in what's wrong and what's broken and what's not right in our lives, it magnifies the problem and it begins to choke out our faith and our hope. Are you with me? Instead, we've got to look at it and say, okay, this is nothing to my God, nothing too difficult for my God. My God is a big God. This problem is a little tiny problem. We have a great big God and a little tiny devil. Amen? Yeah. And God is more powerful. He's greater. He's wiser. He's stronger than anything that we're facing. Any opposition, God has the answer. God will bring us through it even when we walk through the waters. Amen. He says, I will be with you. And through the fire, you shall not be burned. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. In other words, you're going to experience some fire and some water, amen, some floods. Yes. Some things are going to happen. But he says, but I will be with you and I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I am the Holy One, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. Amen. Take your eyes off that thing, that problem. Look at it as a test. It's only a test. Well, what is a test for? To get you to the next level. Yeah. Okay, Lord. You and I are working. The awesome thing is that the teacher has the answers. And if we ask for the answers, he'll give them to us. We don't have to figure it out on our own. When God allows a test in our life, he also has the answer. Teacher, what was the answer to that last question? Seek and you'll find. Sometimes the answer tarries. Wait for it. If God gives you a promise, he's going to bring you through something. Wait for it. Because God does everything in perfect order and with a reason. Sometimes if we get things, what we want when we want it, we will make a mess of it because we're not ready for it. God wants to get us ready. He wants to equip us for what he has ahead. So God wants to give each one of us vision and understanding. Israel was given the promised land. That was their goal. We're going to a land flowing with milk and honey. How many know that you and I have the promise of Canaan? Amen. The eternal Canaan. A land flowing with milk and honey. We're on our way to Zion. Amen. The beautiful city of God. We're passing through this dry and weary land, but God has promised us his glory. Hallelujah. If we will suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Let's not give up. Let's not lose heart. Let's not throw in the towel. It's only a test. And the test is there so that you can be promoted and strengthened in the process. And I have discovered, have you not also, that the things that I have gone through already have actually made me better. Amen. They've strengthened me. I'm stronger today than I was then. I didn't like what I was going through. I didn't understand everything I was going through. But now that I look back at it, I see God's hand all along. Just like he promised. Why don't we believe him? Sometimes we're just like Israel. You know, we start complaining about it instead of looking at the answer. Instead of giving glory to God. Abraham, it says, give glory to God. He was strengthened in hope, in faith. Because he did what? He gave glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. We know Jesus said the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will do what? He will show us things to come. He will show us things to come. He will give you a glimpse of where you're going, of the future. He knew that if he told his people, he gave them a promise that there is a land flowing with milk and honey. It was something that they could fix their eyes upon. Amen. It would help them through the difficulties of the wilderness wanderings. Now, if we don't have hope, we don't have something ahead of us to look forward to, then what happens is we become like those who said, well, things were better back in Egypt. They forgot. They forgot so quickly that they were actually miserable in Egypt, that they were in bondage in Egypt. And God is saying, listen, I got something that's so much greater than what, you know, you've ever known. They had never known, you know, the glories that God had for them. they had always been slaves, always been in bondage. And God had said, listen, I got something better for you. But before you're going to be able to enter into that place that I have prepared for you, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some difficulties. Why? Because I want to teach you how to hear my voice. Because when you hear my voice, then you'll receive my instructions. And when you receive my instructions will enable you to get to that place and to enter into it when you are ready for it. So the things that we experience, the difficulties, are to mature us and prepare us and equip us for what God has. You know, maybe you've been kicked around, you've been, you know, excluded, you've been, you know, people have overlooked you and overlooked your giftings, but God has not ever taken back His promise. It doesn't matter how old we are now or how long we've waited for it. Remember, Abraham was 100 years old. God waited until any possibility that he could do it on his own was over, so that this would be a miracle baby, Isaac, amen, the son of laughter. God likes laughter. He brought joy into their home when they were old. But he did a miracle, because then they would know that it was God and not of man. So it is. You and I have been given a vision, a dream, a hope. Our anchor is within the veil. Amen. His name is Jesus. He's our foundation, our firm foundation. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2 and 17, Peter was quoting Joel. He says, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Even on your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Talks about different seasons in our spiritual walk. I mean, you know, it's important that the older invest in the younger, that we are focusing on this generation. How many know our children are a valuable asset? Amen. That they're precious. They're a gift from God. They're on loan from the Lord, because all souls belong to the Lord. Amen. So we've been given the responsibility to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And if all of us will work together to understand that our responsibility is to sow what we have received from the Lord into others. Amen. And into this next generation. Because we don't want to be like too many churches, you know, that they just go out with age. They die out with age. Because everything has been about us and we four and no more, and we're having a holy time, and yet our children are going to hell in a handbasket. Yes. We need to turn around and think, wait a minute. They are precious. They are invaluable. They are important. They are not only the church of tomorrow, but they're also the church of today. Amen. Because how many have you realized that you don't have to be old to be spiritually mature? I've known some children that were more mature than some adults. Amen. Biologically and spiritually. We need to understand the value of these children, and that God will use these children to reach their peers. But we've got to raise up godly children. We've got to reinforce them. We've got to encourage them. We've got to pray over them. We've got to pour into them. Amen. We've got to make sure that they are receiving the Word of God, that it's getting into the soil of their hearts, and that we are activating them, where we're praying over them and releasing them to lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
Amen. And to share their testimony, yes, with their peers at school. To get out there and to be the salt and to be the light. How many know the kids are just not making a double line before the door of the churches anymore? Amen. They're not coming in. And even in too many cases, when they do come to church, they just play.
Amen.
They don't understand what this is about. They just think it's just playtime. And too many of us as adults, we've just said, oh, go play. What we need to say is, listen, you need to understand that you are valuable in God's sight.
Yes.
That God wants you to be a part of this ministry. This is your church. We are your family. We care about you. We love you. And we want to see you do well. Amen? And we work together. We have situations where a husband or a wife, they're single parents, and they don't always have that support. Or the mother's so busy, she's working all the time, she doesn't have the time. We need to all work together, do our part to make sure these children, amen, even the ones that are coming in here who their parents are not here, that while we have them, that we make the best investment we can into their lives, because we know that the Word of God will not return void. God's Word is eternal. Keep sowing in the Holy Spirit, and in due season, you will reap. You will reap a harvest. Amen? I believe that. Let's keep our eyes upon our vision here and what we're called to do. God has called this church to be a salvation station, a healing place. Amen? Where people come in and they receive healing. A place where people are equipped and raised up. Amen? And sent even to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. It's not just a Bless Me Club. But I like getting blessed as much as anybody else. Amen? And we come here, we should expect the blessings of God. But the blessings are not just so we're blessed, but so we can be a blessing. Amen. What's your assignment? Where do you live? What's the vision? Sometimes the vision is God wants you to be a mother. Amen? Or a father. That's your number one vision. That's the goal, is to raise godly children. Amen? Or to work on your marriage and to develop and strengthen and make your marriage beautiful as you work together in that marriage. God's goal is that your marriage would be a model for society to look at and say, wow, what's the secret here? Well, Jesus. Amen is the glue that keeps us together. Jesus is what makes it beautiful. There has to be cooperation from both parties, of course. But don't give up on those who are not there yet, because God is able to do much more than we could ask or think. And like I said this morning, you know, we need to rid ourselves of anything and everything that could hinder us in reaching our God-given destiny. We need to lay aside every weight,
yes, Lord,
and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, I mentioned this morning that we live in a culture of instant gratification. I want it now. I don't want to have to wait for it. But God gives promises, and sometimes those promises are years down the road. But you're not going to see that promise if you take your eyes off where you're going, amen, and you start to go back in your heart to Egypt, and you start to say, well, it must not be happening. It must have been the pizza I ate or something. And come on, you know, we've got to say, God, did you speak to me? If you spoke to me, then your word is true, amen. He doesn't relent. He doesn't say, I'll give it to you here, I'm going to take it away there. He says, it's there. The gifts and the callings are without repentance. Keep your eyes focused. Amen. Be like Abraham. Follow his faith. Against all hope, he believed. And he believed because he gave glory to God. And it produced faith in his heart. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. And you hear the word of the Lord because you're a worshiper of God. How many know what I'm talking about? You're in a prayer, you're in worship, and all of a sudden God speaks, it just downloads.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Sometimes you're just driving down the road and all of a sudden it's like, boom. Oh, doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. Most of the time, you're going to learn God's voice in the daily faithfulness of your ministry, whether it's to your family, to your neighbors, to the Walmart, you know, checker, to wherever you find yourself, the jail, in church, your classes, you're going to find his voice. You're going to hear his voice in that place of obedience.
Amen.
See, we're saying, God, I want to hear your voice. God, tell me what to do. And God says, I've already given you instruction. What have you done with it? Get back to what I told you to do before. Go back and do the first thing. If you have to, just shut everything off. Get back to that first place. Get back to that first love. Get back to that first assignment. Somehow, we got off track. God never got off track. We got off track. Get back to that place and say, where did I begin? Where was my love buzz? Where was my infatuation? Where was my desire, my passion for God? What happened to it? If we've lost it, you got to get back to Him. Get back to that place where you began. Go back to your Bethel. And God wants to visit you there again. And God wants to once again remind you, even as the patriarchs generationally would remind themselves of the promises of God, that there was going to be a Messiah. That Abraham had been given the promise that he would be the father of many nations. And generation after generation, they would bring that before the Lord. Isaac and Jacob, you know, and on down, Joseph. And remind the Lord of his promises and of his covenants that he had made with them. And it's the same thing that God wants us to know, that when he promises you something, that he is good on his word, that he didn't take it away, that you just need to say, Jesus, I need to recalibrate. I need to refocus. I need to get back to that place. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to quit letting the good weather distract me. I got to get back to the altar, because the weather in heaven is always much better. Hallelujah. Life is good in the God zone. Oh, yeah. Hebrews 6:11, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. How did God do that? The Father and the Son got together. And they made an agreement. You and I are covenant breakers. God is not. And he made a promise. Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. What God had promised to Abraham, he was going to do it. And so after, listen, he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had what? Patiently endured. Abraham obeyed God's instruction to come out of the land of his kindred, all right, of his people, and go to another land that God would show him, in Genesis 12:1. And what did he do? Abraham obeyed. And having done this, he received the promised son Isaac. When? 25 years later. He had to wait on the promise. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will surely come. God says, I don't want my people to become fatalistic. Remember the Doris Day intro song years ago? Some of you are old enough to remember that. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. It's a fatalistic kind of whatever happens, happens. That is not God's way.
No.
God says, I'm making you a promise, but you're going to have to come after it. You're going to have to press in and receive that. That's why I love this church. I love coming together with you, because we are people that press in. Yeah. Amen. And because we're pressing in corporately, there's a glory that's released. The more that we set our hearts to press in, to touch the hem of his garment in worship, the greater release of his glory, of his presence. Amen. We have sometimes that it's like, man, it's just like, if this is what's heaven like, I want to die right now. But God says, no, I want you to live, and I want you to let that glory shine through you. But it's good in the Lord's presence. Diligence in pursuing God's leading brings about a fulfilled vision. Laziness does not. I'm going to say it one more time. Diligence in pursuing God's vision brings it into fulfillment. Laziness does not. We are to wait in God, wait on God, but we are to wait on him, as I said this morning, in a proactive way. Amen. If you've been called to preach, you receive a prophetic word, you need to get in submission to authority in your life. Hello. Too much of that going on, and people say, I've got a call to preach, and they just run around doing their own thing, and they're not connected anywhere. Submission to the authority that God sets in your life, and then do what? Serve others. Serve others in the local church. If you're called to serve in the local church, then you need to practice by serving in the local church. You know, there are many people that discover their call because they started to serve in the local church. There's people that thought, well, I'll volunteer to teach Sunday school. And maybe they had really no desire to, but because they didn't have anybody else, I just decided I'll go ahead and fill in the spot. They get down there, and all of a sudden they discover that that's where they belong. Mm-hmm. And years later, they're still teaching Sunday school. And how many know that God will reward you for your faithfulness? Amen. Not everybody's called to be in the pulpit, but wherever we're called to be, that's where we want to be. Because if I'm where I'm not supposed to be, it doesn't work. How many have discovered that already? And so, you know, if you're called to preach, you've got to serve others. You've got to be under submission. But you also need to have Bible training. You need to prepare yourself, right? That's just to name a few. And I mentioned again earlier, I mentioned marriages. You know, I mentioned raising children. There's many other ways that God gives us vision for the future. But the key here is not to look back. Don't look back. You can't go back. There's nothing back there but death. There's nothing back there but bondage and slavery to Pharaoh. Don't go back. You know, sometimes the enemy comes along and he distracts people with something that looks so beautiful and so attractive and so handsome and so beautiful. Are you with me? So sexy. To get us distracted, to get our eyes off where we're going, hello, to get us out of covenant with God and back into Egypt. He says, oh, doesn't that look good? You know, you remember sharing the story of the preacher who had the momentary loss of judgment, and he was on the road and he was doing circuit preaching. He ends up in a hotel and there was this gorgeous woman there. Found out she was a prostitute. And she was coming on to him. And he thought, oh, maybe this one time I can, you know, give in a little bit here. And then later I'll just repent and ask God to forgive me. He woke up in the middle of the night. Found lipstick on the mirror saying, welcome to the world of AIDS. You know, you've heard that, some of you. But this is the reality, folks, of the devil. Is that he dresses it up. He'll offer you the candy apple, but you don't see the razor blade. And that's the way the devil works. He entices us with the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, the pride of life. Oh, this will make you cool. This will make you accepted. People will all say, wow, aren't you special? Do you know the devil even works on people with ministry? He works on your pride. He says, if you can just be a this or a that, or, you know, this label or that label in the ministry, then you're going to be somebody special. Everybody's going to look up to you. Everybody's going to esteem you and say how wonderful you are. And the devil wants to work on your pride because he knows that if we start to think that it's of us, and not of him, that we get puffed up in our heads, God has to take us down because we're going to destroy many lives, including our own. And the way up in the kingdom is through humility, you know, willingness to yield and to wait on God, to wait on his promise, and to in the time of waiting, to be proactively preparing yourself for what is coming. We are, in the sense, supposed to be making ourselves ready for Jesus, amen, our bridegroom who's coming. We are the bride of Christ. We are to get rid of anything and everything in our life that is going to be a hindrance or that's going to be a defilement to our spirits, so that we're pure and we're clothed in white, amen, in his righteousness. And when he comes, he's going to say, there she is. I recognize you. You're one of mine. Are you with me? We don't want to hear him say, now who are you? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? And then he's going to say to them, I didn't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You were disobedient. You didn't listen to me. You did your own thing. You were self-glorying. You did this so that you could look good. Are you hearing me? If we make him look good, he will make you look good.
Amen.
That's the order. We make him look good, he'll make you look good. Because he's the one that makes us look good. That's why God told the ladies, you know, don't let it be all about the paint, right? And the outward adornment. There's nothing wrong with that, but he said, don't let that distract away from the inner beauty of your heart. Where Christ is. Let the purity of Christ come forth. That people will see the reality of the kingdom through you. And that Jesus is desirable. That I want what you have. Because I'm seeing it. I'm experiencing it. When I'm with you, I sense Christ. Hallelujah. We need to be in such a place, I believe, in the Spirit, where people will ask us, what's different about you? What's the hope that's within you? That's where I want to be. How about you?
Amen.
It didn't happen all the time, but I can remember some times when I was working extra jobs in ministry, and I'd come in and I didn't say anything to anybody. I just went in there and tried to learn what I was doing. And you always feel like an idiot when you start a new job, but, you know, here, as quickly as possible, you want to learn this so that, you know, like, oh, well, what do you do about this? And why don't you do that? And anyways, I remember this one guy was working on his machines. We were in a factory working on machines. He was beside me, and I can hear him kind of mumbling. He says, must be one of them Christians. Why? Just because I didn't go around saying, well, I don't do that. Are you with me? I'm better than that. No, he just saw that my life was different, that I didn't laugh at the dirty jokes. You know, I wasn't talking dirty. I wasn't, you know, I was trying to be kind and respectful to everybody. I was trying to just let the light of Christ shine, and people see that. And that's what needs to happen, is we need to live such good lives in the presence of unbelievers that they're going to say, hey, you've been with Jesus. They're going to see your good works, and they're going to want to glorify your Father. Say, wow. Has God given you a vision of your future? How many can say, you can raise your hand and say, yes, I have a vision for the future of what God wants me to do. Okay. All right. Thank you for your honesty. You know, I have to raise one of my hands, because I don't have the full picture. I have a glimpse of where I'm going, but that's all I need. All I need is a cloud the size of a man's hand in the sky. Amen? To know that rain is coming. Amen? That there's a promise that there's going to be an abundance of rain. So, sincerity and honesty before the Lord and saying, you know, Father, I want to know what you've called me to do.
Yeah, every day.
And you know, another thing is that God gives us the big picture. We're going to Canaan. Amen. We're going to heaven.
Amen.
We're living for eternity. That is our ultimate goal. However, it's in the daily faithfulness, the daily decisions that we make, by listening to his instruction, because we acknowledge him in all of our ways, that he's going to show us more and more of himself and of his purpose. We're going to discover our purpose in the little steps of obedience every day. And we don't want that. We want to go from 0 to 50 without having to go the steps. But God is saying, just be faithful every day, and it'll become clearer to you. You'll begin to discover where you fit, where your anointing is, where you're going to be effective. And you're also going to discover where you don't really fit, where you're not really effective. And sometimes we've had lofty ideas about ourselves that weren't actually God's plan at all. But we thought it would be neat because we saw somebody else doing it.
Yes.
I mean, you know that God's ways are higher, amen? But the thing is this, is what is God put in your hand? What has he called you to do? What is it that you have right now that you can use? The problem is too many are not doing anything with what they already have, and they want more. Can you call someone and bless them? You get somebody, God downloads somebody in your heart. You know, all of a sudden somebody comes to your mind and they keep coming on, up and coming up. And what is God's saying? Pray for them. And he may even say, I want you to lift up the phone and call him and check on him and say hi. Say, I was just thinking about you. How's it going? Whatever. Just the day-to-day things. And after a while, you're going to look back at years of daily faithfulness, and there's going to be an abundance of fruit. But if we're just looking at right now, are you with me? Or we're not willing to go through the daily processes of where we're going, we're going to miss it. Sometimes the answer is right in front of our nose, and we're looking somewhere else. Sometimes it's that person you run into on the sidewalk, right? Or in the store. That's your assignment. Jesus, help us. Lord, we want to hear your voice. Lord, clear away the stones. Clear away those things, those distractions, those things that hinder us. Let us rid ourselves of every weight, every hindrance. And let us deal with the sin. Amen. Put it to death every day. Choose to serve the Lord. Choose to do what He says instead. Hallelujah. And then you will reach your destiny. Hallelujah. And I want to just finish with this one thing. Once again, remember, here we have no continuing city. This is not our eternal home. This is just the boot camp of eternity. We're passing through. We're pilgrims, right? On a journey. And we're setting up our little booths along the way. And God has given us times of refreshing as we go through. We have our Elam moments. We have our Marah moments where the pool is bitter. But God is bringing us through to some place. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Let's be faithful in each day. And each day get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will not complain, but I will rejoice instead and be glad in it. And I will rejoice in hope.
Amen.
I will give glory to God, and I will be strengthened in faith as a result. And the day will come when we will see Jesus, and He's going to look at you and say, I know who you are. We've had many, many conversations. You've allowed me to speak into your life. You've allowed me to be Lord. And now I have something for you, a reward that is beyond your wildest imagination. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving us out. Lord, thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that we're no longer tethered to Egypt. We break every tie, Lord. We're not looking back. We're looking forward. We're fixing our eyes upon the prize. We're looking at you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the power on high. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you have joy set before us too. Great joy, exceeding joy, a joy unspeakable. Hallelujah.